Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Brendan Kraft, our fine young engineer producer, who's probably got some wonderful bump music to play for us today.
You know it, man.
I do. It's Friday, November 7th, 2025, the Buckmaster Show from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, which is part of the Bustos Media Company here in central Tucson. We have five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live local news and talk. We'll complete our 15th year with the radio show at the end of the year. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com and Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, my media co-host. We liked him so much last week with our interview with Leah Marquez-Peterson. Despite a little bit of phone problems, Joe Ferguson is here, former Arizona Daily Star reporter, now editor of the very popular and growingly popular online news service, Tucson Agenda. We don't have to worry about a phone line today, Joe.
I'm here in person. Thanks for having me.
You are here in person, and so is Pima County Attorney Laura Conover, our Friday Focus interview. How are you, Laura?
I'm good, Bill. I'm
been a
always
tough week.
Happy to be here with you. Yeah, we've had a really difficult week at the office, but it's always a chance to say how amazing the people who work at the office are, and even more so, the outpouring of support from the community just reminds me again and again and again how lucky we are to live in a community like the Old Pueblo.
You know, I learned with the rest of the community about the background of these three really fine University of Arizona students who lost their life in just that horrible tragedy over by campus. And there was a connection to your office with one of the students. Would you let our listeners know about that, please?
That's right, Bill. One of the fatalities was Sophia Trotel, who had been with our office for over 2 years as a crisis victim advocate volunteer. She had advanced so quickly and developed a passion and a skill that she had already been conducting trainings for us for new future volunteers. And she had been in the office the day before visiting us to set up her internship for next semester to graduate in May, and our co-directors right now really thought she was getting ready to launch her career as a victim advocate with us. So yesterday, 2 days ago, her family flew in, and they met a lot of her loved ones and friends and coworkers on campus, and then came over to our office to meet all the people she had a really great impact on. And what I said was, Sophia had already had such a positive impact on our community that a person twice her age would aspire to. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to flood the family with our support and our well wishes.
Mm-hmm. How about handling the case itself?
It's, you know, our people are professionals,
right,
but when it's this close to home, the right thing to do is to send it out. I'm grateful that the Maricopa County Attorney's Office is going to take on any future prosecution of the case. They already appeared for us immediately at the initial appearance. And I want to thank homicide survivors, which then stepped in for our victim services division so that, frankly, they could take care of their own. And homicide survivors started taking care of all three families. And so, again, it's like flooding the zone with highly skilled compassion and care from inside our office and all around. It does speak highly to who we are.
This, Joe, and you know this very well, it just seems the fatalities we've had here in town, on our streets, just really an area of concern.
It really is. I mean, we are third in the nation in some rankings for pedestrian deaths.
Wow.
And that's just a real hard number to be known by for our community. And so I only can imagine that Laura can expand on how difficult it is to try to react to those accidents and crashes.
I appreciate that you made that point, Joe, and I'll add that when Governor Hobbs appointed her new director of the Governor's Office of Highway Safety, Director Torres, he came down here, and that was kind of mission one, was looking at our streets and speeding and impaired driving and pedestrian fatalities, because it's not okay. And I will also add that from what I've been told by law enforcement and by veterans in my office, the office did not previously prosecute speed-only vehicular homicides, but I think it's because maybe people were going 50 or 55 in a 40, right? We are prosecuting speed-only vehicular homicides because people are going 80 or 90.
Yeah. Crazy.
And I think first, you know, and my comms director here is with me, so I'm not sure if it was first in the state or first further, but our first conviction on texting while driving, which again cost the lives of two young, wonderful, you know, college students beginning their lives some years ago in Oro Valley. And that was a huge first historical texting while driving homicide conviction. So it's top of mind. It's a concern here.
Joe Ferguson, join in.
So we also had a second issue this week where you were prepared to prosecute a man for leaving his child in the car, and there was a fairly big development that happened. So how did you learn about that? Can you tell me about the first 30 minutes of learning about what that was?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. And we're talking about, just to clarify, we're talking about the case out of Marana. It was last July that investigation by the Marana Police Department, and I'm very grateful for those detectives who determined that a two-year-old baby girl had been left in the car on a day that hit 109 degrees for over 3 hours. So to clarify, we were fully prosecuting him. You know, there are cases where a Pima County grand jury might decide an accident has occurred and then maybe it's negligent homicide, right? The facts and evidence in this case, the Pima County grand jury came back with a first degree murder, finding that child abuse had occurred. So his plea agreement called for a sentencing range of 20 to 30 years. And instead of coming in to turn himself into that plea he had agreed to and pled guilty to, he took his own life, it appears to us. I will note that the Marana Office of the Medical Examiner will continue on with a full and detailed death investigation, but that's the confirmation we have.
We had a listener wondering, speaking of going back to the vehicle fatalities, ask about this individual wanted to know about the status of the John McLean case.
Well, obviously that's a case that hits close to home. I was a fan of John's work and the way he carried himself. You know, I mean, everybody says John was such a kind professional. And I'll ask the caller to forgive me. It's something I'm going to have to look up. I think even if I tried to text my vehicular homicide prosecutor right now, I probably wouldn't get an answer in time. But we'll send an answer. We'll put out a statement about the status of that case.
Okay, let's go to the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Matt would like to ask Laura Conover a question. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, hey, Laura, not to belabor the issue with the child abuse case and the recent death of the assailant, but was he ever given a psychological evaluation by either side, defense or prosecutor. And, you know, you've had some tough cases, obviously, now with the motor vehicle accident. And my condolences to Special Victims Unit or the Victims Unit.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you for doing what you're doing. I know this is tough. And keep up the good work. Take care.
I appreciate it. I don't know off the top of my head. Let me rephrase it. If there is a psychological evaluation that has been done and becomes part of the file and the record, then that is very, very carefully read and reviewed before it goes to the homicide panel, before decisions are made. And so I can say, you know, I'm in that room, I don't ever miss that room. I'm in that room every single time as sort of the final sign-off of what this huge group of veterans decides. And there was not a psychological evaluation to my memory presented in this particular case. And then I just want to thank you, Matt, for your words there. It to have these two incidents happen simultaneously and to have a number of staff who were very involved with both, it became incumbent upon me to try to just take the best care I could of them. And there's a variety of things and tools that I have, because this work is heavy and it takes a toll. So I appreciate your feedback, Matt.
Joe, you want to jump in?
I want to talk a little bit about the future now. So there's a big meeting on November 18th between the City Council and the Board of Supervisors. They're going to be talking a lot about homeless and open-air drug use. You're not in the room. You're not an invited guest. So how do you feel about that? How are you going to be paying attention to that? I mean, you have your own, you're an elected official yourself, and so nobody's going to tell you what to do per se. You follow the law. You go where the grand jury is to take you. So, you know, how do you respond to this kind of big discussion about Tucson and crime, and you're not in the room?
Joe, just to be clear, are we talking about the upcoming
joint
session? Well, that begs an interesting question, because, so remember, I wear two hats, or maybe 14 some days, but while I am the DA, and so I'm kind of the subject matter of some of this discussion, right, as the prosecutor for the county, I'm also the attorney to the Board of Supervisors. So I am automatically in the room because I am the legal advisor to the board and to the county administrator. So I anticipate I probably will be present for such a critical and important meeting. At the same time, So my job is to be the best collaborator I can in search of the best public safety that we can have, a healthy and safe community, and that's the never-ending goal. And everything that happens within the city of Tucson at the misdemeanor level, trespass, simple assault, all low-level theft under $1,000, you know, everything that you can think of that's happening on our street corners, all of that, is all the city prosecutor's office. And if our new city prosecutor wants to propose a request to allow him to prosecute more in the city, we're gonna entertain that, because they're in charge of their jurisdiction. And then at the same time, we're gonna come to the table with everything we continue to do to be the best partner we can as the felony prosecutor. And continue forward, but I'm always going to stick to the foundation of being data driven. I'm just not going to spend money if we don't get results. Like, for example, jailing people who should be in a hospital, and those are the promises that I was just recently reelected upon countywide, right? Not citywide, but countywide. And that feedback from the community will continue to be of great import to me.
There is a political push for maybe getting the board their own lawyer. Now, it's not a widely held discussion, but it is a discussion that's going on by some members of the Board of Supervisors to get their own attorney to represent them rather than when you have a conflict of interest in between two departments. So, you know, is that something that you think has real legs, or is that just, you know, the normal complaints out of, you know, the frustrations of being stuck in between?
So because I am the county's attorney, it means we're legal advisor to the board, to the county admin. We're also the lawyers for all 20 elected officials countywide. Right. So conflict will arise, you know, when the board has questions of the sheriff, or certain questions when the sheriff come up, the sheriff's going to need separate counsel because I'm divided in that sense. Mm-hmm. I'm his attorney and I'm the legal advisor to the board. So all of that is natural, and all of that occurs statewide, right? To the extent it occurs here, it occurs 15 times more in Maricopa, right? Because they're massive. Yeah. And I do want to clarify that I've only heard that question come from one member of the board. So I want to be really clear about that, who would like additional legal counsel on a variety of things. But I've also seen a lot of statewide talk. It would require statewide change. And I know that the other 14 county attorneys are talking about this being well-settled law and unlikely to get any traction.
Okay. All right, let's take the break right here. Our first break on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview. Laura Conover is here, Pima County Attorney. Joe Ferguson is here from the Tucson Agenda. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. We'll be right back with segment number two.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Check out the project list for a new $2.67 billion regional transportation plan that Pima County voters will consider next March. The RTA Next Plan proposes improvements in the greater Tucson region to reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety, and efficiency. It will also expand transit, bike, and pedestrian options for another 20 years. Voters will be asked to okay a half-cent countywide sales tax to continue RTA improvements. The tax rate will not increase. Learn more about the proposed plan and projects at RTANext.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. What are you going old school on me here? A little bit of Isaac Hayes. Let's go back to it. Let's bring it up a little bit there, Brendan. Little Walk On By with the man, Isaac Hayes. Kind of brings me back to my brief time as a disc jockey.
That's right.
I did a little of that for about, 6 months up in the Bay Area.
That's right.
Sunday nights, very mellow. Let's hear a little of that new album from Elton John, stuff like that.
Nice.
You know, it's kind of nice.
That's great.
I enjoyed that part of my very long career, which began in Chicago in 1967, Laura, at WIND Radio as an intern.
Were you in Chicago then in 68?
I was.
Wow.
I was there at Grant Park and shooting had a Leicaflex camera, really nice camera that my instructor at the University of Arizona sold to me, a guy by the name of George Q, K-E-W, and he'd been old school Time Life photographer.
Wow.
And I learned photography from him, and I've got a ton of slides from Grant Park in 1968. Also, I've got a bunch of great slides from when Robert Kennedy came to the University of Arizona right before he was going on to the South Dakota primary. So it would have been April or something like that. And I was there shooting. That was kind of, at one point, I thought I wanted to be a commercial photographer. So nowadays, it's the only photography I do is on vacations with my iPhone. But I've been around a long time. My career is really almost 60 years.
Yeah.
It is. I know.
Congratulations.
That Grant Park stuff, you really probably should think
about. Oh, yeah.
About
it's all needs to be archived.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Like a photo book? Like a, what do you call that, coffee table?
Yeah. Laura Conover is here, Pima County attorney, and Joe Ferguson, former Arizona Daily Star, who's doing really good things. Joe is just like all over the place with the Tucson agenda. I have been in town now 38 years, and I have to tell you, Joe Ferguson is right up there as one of the hardest working news people in this town. And he's got what it takes. He just keeps at it, even though he went over to Europe, he had a trip to Paris, and he was still working on the agenda. So, Joe, your work has not gone unnoticed, at least by me, Bill Buckmaster. So, Joe, why don't you begin the questioning? Bring the light bulb over over Laura and begin the questioning.
That's my daily
Laura.
Life. That's my daily life.
Yes.
It's not a problem.
There's a new narrative out there that's being pushed a little bit by the mayor's office and some people at the city of Tucson that they want to see more aggressive prosecutions related to fentanyl. But that's more than just, you know, hiring a couple of police officers. It has a ripple effect of, you know, prosecuting more people than that. It spreads out to your area, the public defender's area, to the jail itself. I mean, it's a big issue to tackle on, and it's not just doing one simple change. Can you kind of walk us through what that looks like?
Absolutely. So there's a feasibility problem, right? The idea that every single fentanyl pill could be prosecuted as a felony in a jury trial is simply impossible. Or to put another way, we could try to do that, and then we wouldn't be able to do any of the violent or victim crime, and then we still would fail to get every single pill accounted for. So in reality, what you do is you have standards, and the standard we train on is called the ongoing threat of harm. We are looking to prosecute people for felonies and hold them accountable when they have committed harm. They are a threat of harm to the community, and we believe that the only way to curb that and deter them from that ongoing threat of harm is to prosecute them for a felony, while remembering that when we're talking about those who are not a threat of harm to our community and are suffering substance use disorder and mental illness, that the jail is the place to make that worse at three times the cost, instead of actually digging in and getting results in treatment and wraparound services, housing, getting people back on their feet and employed. That's the way we have a healthier, safer community that we live in, and we know this. And look, I'm the felony prosecutor. I have to follow the data. I'm thrilled that we are 50% down countywide on homicides. You heard that right, 50% down countywide from the spike during COVID. But the domestic violence spike has persisted. I've got to go where violent crime is going, where victim crime is going, as the felony prosecutor for the county. I've got to use limited resources for what works and to disrupt harm and to hold people accountable. And I've got to support and collaborate with the medical community, the behavioral health community, to get those on our streets help.
Did I hear you say 50%?
50% down right now.
What's
countywide?
What's going on?
What? Well, I think it's two things. One is that it spiked terribly during COVID nationwide, right? All major cities saw a terrible violent crime spike during COVID, for which there are many obvious and some hidden reasons. And I know that that'll be studied for years. But it also means that we're coming out of it. Thank heavens. Took longer than anyone would have liked to have seen. But there's some partnerships with the Tucson Police Department that are really paying off. They went from one to two homicide units. We went to running the homicide panel almost every single Monday. That became a think tank. We have a special pilot on non-fatal shootings, where that's called vertical prosecution, meaning our prosecutor gets in on the ground on day one and sees that case all the way through. This is kind of how you track people and guns in hotspots. And there's really clear programming and innovation in that's paying off. It's fantastic, but we still got a long ways to go into that. And again, you know, domestic violence is sexual violence. We've still got areas that are keeping us fully busy.
How about women who are being threatened and they're really worried that their lives may be at stake if they stick around? Where do these people, these women, where do they go for to escape these kinds of, you know, this threatening environment? Who wants to live in that kind of an environment? And they're afraid to walk out that they may be killed. It's horrible.
Bill, thank you for asking, because it's never a bad time to pull up the information. We partner directly with Emerge, and they've got a hotline open at all times in case of that kind of emergency, right?
Mm-hmm.
1-888-428-0101.
Give it again,
yeah.
Because there may be a woman listening right now whose life might be threatened or in danger.
Absolutely. 1-888-428-0101. And I want to double down on that. It's not just if you need help. We all get signs or red flags or a gut instinct that a neighbor or a work colleague or a fellow student or coworker, what have you, needs help. And you also can call and get information and try to suss out the situation. Bill, I just want to add, gosh, not to worry us all to heck here, but the problem is women who are mothers, in particular, will often choose like their children's health and safety and well-being over their own personal care and personal safety, because sometimes their partner is the breadwinner, right? And or it's their house that they're living in, you know, and so there's so much at stake.
Economic.
Right. And
considerations.
And look at, you know, Bill, I had the radio on when it talked about, well, maybe SNAP will turn back on, but only halfway. And little man said, you know, in the back seat, our little guy, he's, you know, he's like, I don't really want to hear this. And I was like, man, neither do I. But what if mom and dad had to sit you down and say, we can only eat half the food this month?
It's like, just unconscionable.
It's unconscionable. And so what's going to, you know, so how is a person supposed to leave an unsafe situation when they're struggling to even put food on the table? And then you add immigration status, right? Like, can you even call for help, or are you worried about immigration status, which is why I want to say 88 crime. Our 88 crime division at the Pima County Attorney's Office is fully bilingual, because people can call safely, anonymously, and report crime and call for help, knowing that you're going to be safe in doing so, regardless of your immigration status.
I'm just going to get on my soap opera. These people in Washington, Joe and Laura, are being paid. And you've got people in the air traffic control towers who are doing like 12-hour days for basically free. Do you know how bad this is for our country? And you mentioned the SNAP benefits. What about these people? And I'm hearing horror stories that flights, you know, are just being canceled. Right now it's up. It's going to be up to 10%. People are missing critical flights to go to for healthcare, for cancer, to different. It's just not right what's happening, Joe.
No, I agree. I think that, you know, people are going to go see people who are, you know, mom and dad before they're in the hospital.
Exactly.
They can't make
that flight, their final moments are being now denied because these flights are being canceled. And I'm not blaming the air traffic controllers. They are overstaffed. It is not a safe environment to fly.
It's not sustainable
no,
at all.
You no, can't. No.
Well, and I'll tell you, at our office, and I think it was one of our senior criminal supervisors, and Rachel Stiles and Chandrea, realized we should start running like a food pantry in the office, a food donate, and we have two sites. One's going to go to the community food bank, and one's going to be internal, no questions asked, because we've got people whose spouses stopped getting paychecks.
Yeah,
right. And so many of our jobs are critical, but they're entry level at county wages. And so if their spouse is suddenly unpaid, we've got in need even inside our own shop.
Well, why don't we pause right here to talk about something we can all agree on. It's a very happy topic. Mona's Danish Bakery.
Excellent.
What are you thinking about for your Thanksgiving pie, Laura, this year? Traditional pumpkin for you this year?
Yes, that's generally the go-to. Mm-hmm. Although my husband, who's from Wisconsin, makes a fantastic, like delicious red apple crisp. It's quite something.
Very nice. Joe, are you a pie person?
I am. I was worried for a moment she was going to mention the word rhubarb, and I'm so glad to hear that she didn't. But so, it for me, it's definitely going to be an apple pie.
Apple pie. It's very American, certainly. All right, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. And, of course, their signature pastry is something called a Danish Kringle, which just really seems so holiday-ish, talking about a Kringle. But it's a terrific cake. And they also do, by the way, a traditional almond wedding cake. And when it comes to anything almond, I'm in, especially their almond croissants. All right, getting back, Joe, what are we missing here with Laura Conover before we send Laura out to complete the rest of her busy workday?
I don't want to go back to this too much, but I do want to talk just for a moment. You know, there is a push by some that say, you know, we've got these addicts, we should put them into treatment. That's great, but there is a subpopulation of those that don't want treatment. And the ability for you as a prosecutor to put somebody into treatment who doesn't want it, there's a lot of hurdles in between that. We don't forcibly put people into prisons or into treatment centers without violating their constitutional rights. So that's a delicate balance. Can you just explain a little bit more for the reader, for the listeners today about that?
Yes. How do I encapsulate that quickly? It's a big topic. And what I'll do is I'll say that last month I pulled together, 28 subject matter experts in this, you know, doctors, behavioral health, caseworkers, peer support, like all of the finest minds in the region to talk about that exact thing. I think Arizona is ahead of the curve and innovative with the crisis response center. That's our secured hospital on Ajo. It's extraordinary. Remember, if you see someone in crisis, call 988. And that's where people can involuntarily be taken if a loved one or a police officer or whoever's observing swears out and says, these are the signs and symptoms that I'm seeing, and I think this person is a danger to themselves or others, and persistently and acutely ill. And
so that can be an intervention.
So that's, you know, but that's almost exclusively in like the mental health realm, and it's a beautiful thing, right? They're being taken to a hospital rather than a jail. I'm just a huge fan of all that they do, but the question is, is there anything we can take from that model for people who have fallen so ill and so deeply ill and disordered from substance use? And that's the $64,000 question that we're trying to figure out. We don't want people suffering and frankly dying on our streets. And at the same time, we have to be extraordinarily careful about people's liberty and constitutional rights. We don't want to go back to those like locked asylums, right? From the horror stories from the 50s and 60s. We can't slip back to that. So that's another live high wire that I'm walking right now.
When they do go to this facility, this secure facility, is there a time limit? Are they evaluated, and then where does that go from there?
It's almost always only 23 hours for that stabilization for someone who's in total crisis, like complete crisis. There are provisions that allow up to, I think it's 3 to 5 days for extreme acuteness. And Joe, I think you know, during your years during COVID, you became familiar with this incredible work that goes on in our community. But we need more, and we definitely need that. We're so good at serving people in that first day, but then it's like we need that whole second movement of like the secondary response of where can we safely go to a safe place to begin the long, serious work of trying to recover from a substance use disorder and or a serious mental illness.
It's 988.
988 is the number to call when you feel certain that you're starting to have a crisis, and feeling early warning signs, or if you feel like you're observing someone in crisis. Right, you're not looking for a police response. You're looking for help for a medical behavioral issue going on. 988.
Okay, Laura Conover. Thank you, Laura, for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Always good to see you, Bill, and thank you.
Thanks.
Too, Joe.
And Joe, stick around. Let's talk a little bit, Joe, about what you've got going on.
Sure, be happy to.
In segment number 3. Let's take a break right here. More on the Buckmaster Show after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC, so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Little bit of Stevie Wonder doing Superstition right here on the Buckmaster Show. This all harkens back to my DJ days back in early 1972 up in the Bay Area. Joe Ferguson is here. Joe, former Arizona Daily Star reporter. Joe, how long did you spend at the Star?
I spent 7 years at the Star.
Very, very good. And then worked a little bit with our friend Ray Carroll down in Green Valley.
Did.
Ray is up for re-election, right?
He is.
Justice of the Peace down there, our friend Ray Carroll. And then Joe is now involved with something called Tucson Agenda, online news service, which is really the way the media, print media is going, isn't it, Joe?
Well, I think that, you know, as the Daily Star is no longer printing in Arizona, it, you know, provides a lot of challenges to really get news in a printed form that like you wanted, you know, and we enjoyed for so many years. It's just a harder and harder to do financially. So mm-hmm. I think more and more people are turning to their phones for information. And
sure.
We are in your inbox every morning at 6 a.m.
Adelita Grijalva confirmed with me that she will be keeping her our scheduled appointment on December, the first Friday in December. I wonder if I will be able to address her here in studio as Congresswoman, Representative, or will I still have to be saying Representative-elect? I don't know this can go on.
They are taking bets on that, if you didn't know, on when she will be sworn in.
Are there really?
There are political websites that will let you legally bet on this and anything else, I suppose. And so my hope is that we get this resolved as soon as possible, far before you sit down with her.
Her profile, though, what it's done for her, it's elevated her profile to a national figure. USA Today had an op-ed from her and lots of national media attention, Joe.
No, I see it too. All the time she's got to be so very busy on this, but I mean, I think that her vote for the discharge papers is probably what a lot of people are looking forward to seeing her cast in Congress as soon as possible. And so The longer we have this shutdown, the longer it's going to take for us to see her actually be sworn into Congress.
Boy, this shutdown needs to end now. We have the joint city-county meeting coming up. Rex Scott articulated at the board meeting, the Pima County Board of Supervisors meeting. Rex Scott, the chair of the board, Representative Democrat District Number 1. It was a pretty much, I think that somebody counted, maybe it was you, Joe.
It was.
It was close to 1,600 words, some choice words for leadership of the city.
I think that, you know, Rex Scott has heard a lot of criticisms of the county from the city related to how they've handled this crisis. And I think Rex is pivoting to say, listen, we are a partner. We've been meeting on this on a monthly basis. We have talked a lot about how to do this. We are sharing programs. We are collaborating in a lot of ways. And so while I hear your criticisms, I want to refocus on all the things the county is doing. And so the county is, you know, a partner with the city and trying to address these issues. And the reason why we're having this meeting is probably those efforts aren't enough, but having all elected Democrats and one Republican in the same room to discuss a regional strategy is probably a great idea.
And the relationship between city and county has always been troubled in this area.
You've been doing this a little bit longer than I have, so
yeah,
you can speak to that. But
I've been here for almost 38 years.
It's always been an issue, I suspect.
Yeah, it has been. And I've seen some of these joint meetings before, and to their credit, the city and county do work together right now on some important things. Wastewater, yeah.
Regional water.
And yeah.
No, I mean, the list goes on and on. The jail is a collaborative process. The you know, crime courts, all these things are collaborative processes. Heck, the libraries is a collaborative process at this point. The county runs the program, but they're city-owned libraries. So there's a lot of things that they're doing and doing well. It's just that I think we've reached a point now where there's a push to really make some changes, and that's got to be done by both sides of the aisle.
Okay, we had the election this week. No surprises.
No surprises.
Maybe one of the surprises, TUSD's bond.
I was going to say, I said, you know,
yeah,
it's good to see that
big,
people are
the big
willing
thing
to...
that was surprising, because there hadn't been one passed here in over 20 years for TUSD.
No, but I think that, you know, public education is under attack. There's less money coming in from the feds. There's less money coming in from the state. And so I think that, you know, it's good to see that Tucsonans are still willing to pay for education for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And the makeup of the city council, for the first time, women will be in the majority.
We'll see if that changes the direction that the council goes in. But I think that we've got some new discussions that will be happening in January when everybody's gotten in and, you know, figured out where their office is.
What do you think some of those, certainly bus fares will be right there at the top, won't it?
It will be. But I think that, you know, we've got Miranda also pushing very hard for a takeover of TEP. This is a billion-dollar question, but at the same time, I think that there's a lot of people that are pushing to say that the city of Tucson has no profit motive involved in running an electric utility, and that's what's really hurting the people in this room and throughout the community.
I wonder how big a deal that would be, though, to
it's,
do that.
It's multi billions, and TEP says that they're not going to go down without a fight.
I think the attorneys will be the ones that will get rich when the papers are drawn up on that one.
That's an astute observation.
All right, Joe, always a pleasure. We will look for your work in the Tucson Agenda, and getting the agenda is very easy.
Just sign up by saying, just go to tucsonagenda.com and you can sign up there for free.
Okay, Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive is coming up right after the break.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
A proposed $2.6 billion regional transportation plan will be funded by a half-cent sales tax if Pima County voters approve the plan and tax next March for another 20 years. The tax rate will not increase. Funding from the 2006 voter-approved plan is expected to bring a $3.67 billion economic impact to the greater Tucson region. The sales tax investment for RTA Next will lead to a similar economic impact and more than 88,000 jobs over the next 20-plus years. Learn more about RTA Next funding and proposed projects at RTANext.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. All right, time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The weather here has just been so beautiful. Mid-80s, well, it's about mid-70s, so if it's too warm for you here in Tucson, it's absolutely perfect. I love temperatures in the mid-70s over in Silver City, where the elevation is 5,000 to 7,000 feet. Perfect fall getaway in an enchanting place. After all, it's part of the Land of Enchantment, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. A ton of stuff, a lot of outdoor activities there, a lot of hiking opportunities. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Ken Carr is here, the ever-popular midday host on 101.7. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Hi, Bill.
What's going on this weekend?
Oh, this is one of those weekends when we get into the fall that is really packed before the weather gets really chilly. So,
a ton of activities.
This one's indoors, the Loft Film Fest.
Oh, yeah.
And that continues through the Thursday, and it's a showcase of independent, foreign, and classic films. And works established from emerging directors, writers, producers, actors. Basically, if you want to see movies that nobody has seen yet, this is your chance to do it.
There are a lot of them, too.
And one of the things that we always are proud of in Tucson is the All Souls Procession. It's really a very Tucson kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the All Souls Procession events are happening this weekend. Tonight it's the Dance of the Dead, which if you've seen me dance, that's pretty much what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
tomorrow night is the Procession of Little Angels, and then the main procession on Sunday. The gathering starts at Ford Speedway in Grande, and then the procession starts at 6 o'clock, and the route goes down Grande to Congress, and then east on Congress to Avenida del Convento, and then they have the after party until midnight.
A lot of people will be attending that for sure.
I would.
Boy, that's grown. Like,
well, it's grown to be a huge And just be aware of the fact that there will be traffic restrictions in that area. I know we have got about a minute or so, so let's see. Let me zip through a few other things. Vail Fest this weekend, Pima County Fairgrounds, go-kart races, a petting zoo, horseback riding.
Go-kart racing.
I know.
Cool.
Cornhole and horseshoe tournaments, that's all for free. The Quilt Craft and Sewing Festival happening at the Tucson Expo Center. That's coming up. Well, it's continuing through tomorrow. Then the Rockin' for Heroes concert at the James D. Krieg Park, and that's a Sunday from 12:30 to 6 with the first responders being honored.
Any remote activity for you and the drive team this
Absolutely.
Weekend?
Absolutely. We're giving away a 1967 Ford Fairlane 500, a classic car. So Oral Valley Acupuncture, 11:30 to 1:30 at McGee and Oracle tomorrow. You can walk up and sign up to win the car. We're going to give it away on at an event on November 22nd.
Very cool. Thank you, Ken. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thanks to Brendan Kraft on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing. Thanks to Ken Carr and the team at The Drive and KVOI. Have a great weekend.